went with Ackerman McQueen, and they're so professional, one of the leading advertising agencies in this town or in this state. And while there, they had a very interactive website. And this is kind of when websites are becoming more and more on our conscience. Hadn't really come there yet. And we had an hour program, a live program. I want to call it an intervision or whatever. And I performed on it, and I did things on it. Then it came to the time where I thought, you know what, I'm just 66 or 67. I want to do something else. I really don't have to work here, and I'm gonna leave. Told Angus I was leaving. In the meantime, Walt Helmrich, I said, Walt, all these stories you're telling me down through the years, they need to be captured. We need to do a book on you. John, my grandfather, Carl Cord, did a book. Nobody read it. I don't want to do a book.
That sounds like Walt.
Mm-hmm. I said, okay, how about if I record you? Okay. So we went to the boardroom at Helmrich & Payne, and I did a couple-hour interview. And I said, well, how was that? Did you enjoy it? I said, yeah, it's fun. Let's go to lunch. So then I said, well, I'd like to do a follow-up and have some more time. Was that okay? Yeah. So he goes to Florida. I'm back here, and I'm driving one day, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I took his interview and others like it and put it on a website for educators, students, and everybody, that would be a good thing. When he comes back, I tell him that. Now, you didn't know which way Walt was going to, if he was going to agree or anything. You could not read him. When I told him, he instantly said, I think that's a great idea. I said, would you get your friend Henry Zero to be interviewed? He says, I will. He interviewed, and both of them were the early contributors to VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Contributors not only in the sense of being subjects, but also, I suppose, economically.
Well, that's what I meant. I meant that.
This requires some money to operate this.
I meant their foundations gave immediate. They were of the early foundation giving. Yeah,
they were also of the early people who were interviewed, and you would have a really tough time trying to find any two better
to begin
people
with
to do that.
And then you could tell other people.
Sure.
Well, Mr. Helmrich and Mrs. Zero have. Oh, well, if they're going to do it, so I had some fairly good instant credibility at the very beginning, and then got many fine foundations that came on, which you can see on VoicesOfOklahoma.com. So then in 2009, I began seriously about interviewing people. Interviewed 30-some in 2009, and then in March of 2010, we launched our interview with Wilma Mankiller. People say, how do you know which guy you're going to talk to? It's kind of like whoever comes to my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad I didn't have, at this point, a committee, because who came to my brain? I'll go there. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's somebody who's in ill health, is near death. I interviewed them.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Oral was. I knew Wilma Mankiller was, all that kind of thing. And so what have I learned from the people I've talked to? Most of these people, and, you know, everybody has a story. This is oral history. And I didn't really end up interviewing the rich and famous. But I knew that if I interviewed those people with their success stories, that would be good for students and everybody. And it draws people to the website. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people I have that they don't know, but they're glad they found out about them. Most of these people, many of them came from a one-room schoolhouse, but there was something about them as youngsters. They were either salesmen, that's youngsters. Boone Pickens had 13 paper routes when he was 13 years old. And he, by the way, when I was interviewing him at 82, 83, he had to interrupt our interview twice because he had to go down to a board meeting and then come back and finish it off. And they're just driven people, and they're very smart. People around them, many of them, saw this young person as smart, and they would help that person. They would come out and say, ooh, this guy's talented. We want to help him. It's almost like, I want to say, because I was an average student in school, nobody really came out of the woods to help me. It'd be fun to help people who are average students and say, hey, I want to be of help to you. But anyway, these people were standouts. There's no question about that.
You think that has anything to do with the culture of this part of the country?
Oh, I'm sure that all these stories could be told anywhere in any state. I don't think so. I could dream up a story that these are hardworking, loving people, but I think you can go into any state and say that. I can't imagine a state that wouldn't have those kind of people. I would love to say that about Oklahoma as being the only one, because I love Oklahoma. I love our history. I love everything about it. We have seven ecosystems in this state. It's wonderful. And I love Tulsa. This is the garden spot of Oklahoma, as a matter of fact. It's the Garden of Eden. But, yeah. No. And every state should have a Voices of Florida, a Voices of Texas. They should all be doing it, and maybe some of them are doing it to some degree.
Because it's worth preserving.
It is. I believe that the voice is the HD to a story. Aside, to hear this voice, wouldn't it be great to hear Thomas Jefferson, as we have all heard, described his voice as a very thin, thin voice, but to hear that very thin voice talk about his beliefs. Anyway, we get to do that now, and so we get to hear the Henry Bellman and the way he spoke. And these students are just, I think they're fortunate to be able to have this kind of tool to hear the voice. It adds to the personality. But they were driven people. They were leaders often in high school. Walt Helmrich, he would take wine out of his father's cellar and sell it on the street for X amount of pennies, and he would get in trouble. But he was a salesman. He wanted to sell. He was young. I never thought about things like that. But then he was very smart and went to Harvard, and he was more proud of his, I believe, his street smarts than anything. And he made a mark in this town in board meetings when he was 40-some years old, when the board members were 60 and 70 years old, and he was the youngest guy in the room, and they all had respect for him. He was very, very smart and all. Anyway, I just learned that you can spot these people when they're very, very young, and they were still driven. Nobody retired at 65. They were working at 70 and 80 years old and still had an involvement in life.